Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker. Welcome back to the show. You know, I love that you guys are so engaging. That everybody, you know, email me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. We're on Spotify, we're on iHeart, we're on iTunes, anywhere that you can think of and that you prefer to listen to, hey, listen, subscribe where you are. We'll be there. If you find that there is a platform out there that you really love and we're not there, let me know and I will be happy to set it up to make sure that we're on platform of your choice. We try to be everywhere for you guys. Now, this week, I'm actually going local. We're actually going to a local buddy of mine, Jeffrey Victor LLC, Luminary Learning Company. And Jeffrey, you are all about customer experience. So let's get into this. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ben. So nice to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know what? It is finally time for you and me to put this down on tape. We have been having conversations for years. You and I met, I think it was through BNI a few years ago, through Business Network International. In a few weeks, we're going to have Ivan Meisner on the show, the head of BNI. And I am so excited about the fact that we're going to have you on the show. And we're going to talk about customer experience because it's something that most businesses pay an enormous lip service to, but don't actually get into the nuts and bolts and really make it happen. So I want to talk to you about, where did you come from? Where are you today? And where are you going? So let's start off with the life and times of Jeffrey Victor.
Love it. And one thing that I want to point out right away is that I appreciate you supporting a local business.
Absolutely.
This business has been founded right here in beautiful British Columbia, out of Vancouver. And I just really appreciate our conversation and our friendship and being here today. So thank you for supporting local.
And by the way, this is the best dressed man you're ever going to know. This guy's got more suits in his closet than the next three people combined. He always makes me feel underdressed wherever he is. The man knows how to dress sharply.
I appreciate that. And you of all people, I really appreciate that because you know what it's all about and your own brand. And so that is one of the things that's just become my thing when I go out to networking events or meetings and whatnot. That's one of the first things people notice right away is my attire, which is fantastic. It's a really great way to start or spark up a conversation because people right away say to me, oh my gosh, you're the best dressed person here. And of course, in Vancouver, where everyone's wearing like sweatpants and Lululemon to networking events, it's...
So what you're saying is that the bar is not that high. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's great. I always like to wear the pocket square to match.
Absolutely. You got to have the tie and the pocket square to match. It's an important thing. You know, one of these days, you're going to get me back into my suits and ties.
You know, it's interesting. I always have to ask clients too, like, look, this is Vancouver. Every company has their different dress code. And I want to make sure that I'm not overdressing or underdressing. It's one of the first questions I usually ask when I'm going to come in. Because if I show up to a young tech starter upper and I show up in my suit and pocket square right away, that could set tone that I don't want to set, right? So it's something that I'm always asking right away. How do your people dress?
Well, it's funny. And I'll tell this story and then we'll get into the podcast. Because this is going back years ago, and I'm on the golf course, and I actually had forgotten to turn off my phone. You know, my fault. Somebody slapped my wrist, and my phone rings at about the seventh hole. And it's one of my top clients. And I said, sorry, guys, I got to take this thing. So I answer the phone, hey, Bob, how are you doing? He says, where are you? Not hi, not anything else. Where are you? I said, do you really want to know? He says, you're on the golf course, aren't you? I said, yeah. He says, how quickly can you be here? I said, what's going on? He says, I can't tell you. How quickly can you be here? I says, well, I can finish 9, go home, shower, change. I could probably beat your office in 2 or 3 hours. He says, forget about it. He says, drop the bag, get in your car and get here. He says, I'll pay for the round. I don't care. So I show up, hadn't shaved in 2 days, wearing a pair of golf shorts and shirt. I think I was wearing flip-flops because all I had with me was either flip-flops or my golf spikes. And I didn't think I wanted to wear my spikes into his office. And I get there and the entire boardroom is full of people. And we fix the crisis and we take care of it. And we take care of the customer. And a couple of days later, I call him up and I said, you know what? I was really embarrassed. I mean, everybody else there was properly dressed. And I'm sitting there and hadn't shaved. My hair's a mess. I got a ball cap on. And, you know, and I'm sitting there in golf attire. He says, Ben, he says, I needed you right then and there. I needed you to help me take care of a problem. I could care less what you look like. Do you ever see me in a suit and tie? No? Fine. I think that was the last time I wore a suit and tie in Vancouver on a regular basis.
Awesome story. I get it. I can relate, man.
It's take care of the customer. So let's get into this because that's what you're all about is taking care of the customer. So where did you come from and how did LLC get started?
Oh, wow. So, you know, when I look back at my origins, I'm very proud of being from Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. I know nobody's perfect. Believe me, I've heard all the jokes.
Hey, four dead in Ohio, you know, great song.
I get all the jokes. The mistake by the lake. Everyone always brings up Drew Carey and LeBron James. I get it. Amazing city, amazing people. I'm so proud of my roots from there. When in high school, my dad was fantastic for me. And one of the first things he did when I turned the right age to get a job, he said, okay, you're going out and getting a job. That's what people do. And so I got a job at a movie theater and I became the ticket taker, the popcorn guy, all these different things. And right away, I started to enter this world of customer service, customer experience as a 16-year-old kid. And sure, it was through popcorn and Twizzlers, but it was a start. And as I sort of gravitated through my career and what I wanted to do, I always go back to my roots, which started there, right there in the movie theater. I moved to New York City when I was 18 years old and ended up going to an acting and musical conservatory there. And for the next 13 to 14 years, I dedicated my life and my professional life to being an artist and performing in Broadway musicals in and outside of New York City. And I got a chance to travel all over the world doing Broadway musicals. And I know we've connected a little bit on that in the past. So I'm not going to sing for you today, only if you ask me to.
Maybe we'll get it on air at the very end. How about that?
That can be one of the bonus takes. But in and around my shows, you know, you got to pay your rent sometimes in New York, obviously. And a show will open and a show will close. And a lot of organizations, especially customer-focused ones, like to hire performers and actors. Right? We're outgoing. We can speak well. We can engage well. We're comfortable in front of a crowd. We can handle conflict and improvisation and kind of go with the flow. And those are skills that I developed in acting school that now very much using in my profession. And so my first job in New York City when I was not performing was with Disney. And it was with The Lion King that had just opened up on Broadway. And I was immersed into the Disney customer service world. And that training and that foundation, honestly, now when I look back, it changed my life. I was being trained and mentored by some of the greatest customer service people in the industry, in the world. So I'm so fortunate to have had, like, really my roots come from that experience. I met a Canadian girl and ended up, after 13 years of living in New York City and living that actor lifestyle, that meeting her kind of changed it all, and I was ready to hang up my tap shoes because I had really checked all that lifestyle off the bucket list and achieved so many things that I ever could only have dreamt of, and ended up moving to Vancouver, British Columbia. She was from here and immigrated here in 2008, and the first position that I found here in Canada was in the luxury hotel world and started out as a concierge, which I absolutely loved. It was so fantastic. And again, I was being trained by amazing people, great mentors, wonderful trainers, and just excellent hoteliers, and immersed myself for the next 10 years in the luxury hotel world. And, you know, when in the hotel world, you can climb up the ranks pretty fast if you've got passion, if you're coachable, if you believe in the organization and the brand and the values, you can really move around quite fast. They welcome people like that, and they can really groom fantastic leaders out of that. And so luckily I had people that recognized all that in me, and I had a chance to sort of move in and around the hotel world in many different positions, ultimately ending up in training and development. And that's really where I found my true passion at this stage of my life, this stage of my career. And it was just an aha awakening moment for me. So then I started working in hotels as a training and development manager. and worked within certain brands and joined a pre-opening team, which was a phenomenal experience. And ultimately, you know, I had many people and many mentors and people like yourself saying, you know, Jeffrey, you should really start thinking about flying your own flag, doing your own thing. And again, like, it wasn't really on my radar. I just was so comfortable and I loved the hotel industry and I loved what we were doing. And slowly but surely, that whisper started to get louder and louder and louder. And I started to see what I could bring to organizations that are not hotels. Sure, hotels, that's one of my main passions and I absolutely adore it. But I started to see the world from a consumer buying a car, going out to dinner, buying a house for the first time. And I was really seeing myself as the customer and seeing like, oh gosh, this interaction could be so much better if the person just had a little bit more of this or a little bit more of empathy or a little bit more of, you know, understanding of what it's like to apologize when a mistake happened. You know, my wife was the biggest supporter. She was like, Jeffrey, this company needs you. We're buying a car right now and there's been a couple of hiccups. They could really use some of your expertise and some of your tips and knowledge. And I was like, you know what? That could be something. And then ultimately, just a series of events that occurred, I saw the light and I was like, you know what? This is it. I'm ready to do this. There's a niche for what I want to do and what I want to achieve and my style of training and development. I'm ready to do this. And so recently, I mean, really, we officially launched in July of last summer. The idea had been kind of workshopping in my mind for 10 years. And then finally, just all the skies opened up and boom, Luminary Learning Company was established in July of 2019.
And that's amazing because it's a culmination of things. We are a culmination of our experiences. We're a culmination of the things that have brought us to a certain point in time. How I started my company, how you started your company, how many people start their company is there's a series of experiences that have brought you there that have given you the learning tools and the relationships and the honestly, some of the challenges that give you that aha moment that sit there and go, okay, wait a second here. There could be more. And there could be something here where I can help people. I can make other people's lives better. And these are the people that I can help. This is how I can help them. And this is how I can make their lives better. And it's a scary moment and an exhilarating moment at the same time, starting your own company.
I agree. But I'm also going to challenge you just to touch on that only because I almost didn't know what to be afraid of.
And there is that too. We don't know what we don't know. There is that. Every entrepreneur has that. Exactly.
It's like when I moved to New York, I didn't really know what to be afraid of. So I just sort of took the plunge and did it. Moving to Canada and, you know, not knowing too many people. And when I look back at my life, you know, I say this all the time to people that are about to take a leap or a plunge into something or take a risk. Personally, when I look back at the biggest plunges and leaps I've made in my life, those have turned out to be the greatest, most incredible experiences of my life. Like the big leaps, the ones that are risky and challenging or scary. When I look back, those are the ones that really brought me so much joy and learning and struggle, sure. So yeah, I just took the plunge, Ben. Like I didn't even really necessarily know what I didn't know, which made it kind of easier to do it.
And you're right. I mean, we all have to sit there and say, you know what? It's not going to be perfect. There is no perfect launch. There is no perfect inception of a business. We don't know everything at the start. We can't know everything at the start, but you have to be able to jump across that chasm and you have to sit there and say, you know what? I think I can do this. Here's the best knowledge I have. Here's a good place to start. The rest of it, what? I have faith that I'll figure it out or I'll find people along the way that will help me figure this out. And it's an amazing thing.
It is. And I could not do it, Ben. This is my calling. This is what I am supposed to be doing. And so again, like it started as a whisper and then it got louder and louder and louder. And I ultimately said, I cannot not do this now. There are so many people that could benefit from working alongside me and I could benefit from working alongside them. Like this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to do. So I could not do it.
Well, let's get back into customer experience and, you know, customer service, because the story I love to tell is I learned how to hire salespeople because I started off in fine dining. I was a waiter. First of all, anybody who's worked in fine dining, you start off as a busboy, then you become an apprentice waiter, and then you become a waiter. And it was almost a year and a half before I actually had my own set of tables working at this restaurant, because they were so maniacal about their culture and their training and making sure that their customers had the most incredible experience, that they didn't want to just put some, they didn't care which restaurant you came from. You started off as an apprentice. You started off figuring out their way of doing things. And I always found that later on in life, when I had to hire salespeople, I went into the best restaurants in town and watched the best waiters work. And I'm sitting there and say, you know what? If you ever want to make a change, here's my business card. And a couple of people actually did. And some of those were some of the best salespeople I ever met, because they know how to take care of people. They know how to listen. They know how to engage. They know how to interact. They know how to think on their feet. And it's an amazing thing. So I want to talk to you about, how do you help customers with their customer experience? Because most companies give great lip service to customer service. They say, we're all about our customers and we're all about customer service. And then they put you on hold for 30 minutes.
The first, as you just sort of sparked a really incredible experience that I had recently at a restaurant. And I think I'll be able to sort of dissect your question and maybe move through it and help you understand how we go about it. So there is a pizza place out by where I live, and my daughter and I, she's 4 and a half. That's one of our places we like to go. And we've been there several times now. And each time we've had a different server. And when we go, usually it's kind of like a regular experience and the pizza's good and there's nothing too mind-blowing about it, but right, food is good and service is just, it's just fine. Well, on the most recent occasion, we had a new server. I'd never seen this person before. And right away, she was super engaging with us. And she was connecting with my daughter and connecting with me as a dad. And just like, I could just tell that there was something going on for her that was genuine and authentic. And she said, as she's talking, oh, would your daughter, like, this is like an idea that she had to help our experience become even better. She said, oh, would you mind if I go, do you think your daughter would like some pizza dough to play with before the pizza comes out? My daughter's, her name's London, her eyes lit up like she was seeing Mickey Mouse. And so did I, you know, and I said, oh, wow, that would, sure, absolutely. So she went back, she brought this ball of pizza dough on a plate, and she even brought this like mini roller so my daughter could sit there and sort of make the pizza while we were waiting for our own pizza to be made. And I was like, this is it right here. And so when I compare and contrast servers that we've had there in the past and this particular server, I go back to a few different things. And I like to, so what I perhaps didn't mention before is that I spent several years in HR. So human resources is part of one of my company's branches. It's a passion for me. The employee experience is just actually kind of at the root of what I do. And I think about this person and how they were recruited. How did this person find this company? And what were the questions that they asked her? Who is she as a person? And obviously, she has got a wonderful boss that allows her the creative space while on the floor to be who she is and to be fully expressed with the customers. And I don't know if this person is a mom or loves kids or is it like a preschool teacher or something. I don't know. She was totally authentic, totally genuine. And she was connecting to me differently versus how she was connecting to the couple that was sitting next to us, right? The couple next to us didn't get pizza dough. Our table did. And there were so many things that we could dissect about this experience that you sort of.
But let's say, I'm sure she gave them an incredible experience on their own right, but it was different from the experience that you got based on who you were.
Absolutely. It's genuine interest in the customer. She was sort of seeing the scene, who we were, and adapting to that in using her, perhaps her own personal experience, to then connect to us in an absolutely authentic and genuine way. And look at that. Here I am talking to you about it. And I will talk to every client, every customer. This will be now a story that I share forever now, all because of a tiny little simple gesture that she probably didn't think was that big of a deal. But she thought about it. She hit a bullseye, nailed it. And when I think about a customer experience,
we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Your Brand Marketing.live podcast is sponsored by How to Retain Employees Through Leadership online course. Go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com. That's courses, www.yourbrandmarketing.com and put in Your Living Brand 50 for a $50 coupon. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Your Living Brand Live Show.
Sure, she was providing the service and going about all those things. But what I appreciated and what I do is I talk to frontliners. That is, again, one of the purposes of my business is that I work with people like her. Sure, I'll work with the leaders and all that business, but what I'm doing, I work with the front line. And I share stories like this and I help businesses bring that out in their people, right? How are we going to get Ben to be fully expressed while out on the floor? Of course, following the standards of the company you're working for, aligning with the mission and the core values and all those things. But how can we get him to be himself so he feels like he can just be fully expressed with his customers? Once that occurs, magic, that's where the magic happens, because it becomes a genuine, authentic interaction, even when things go wrong.
Well, it's the Maya Angelou. People don't remember what you say, they don't remember what you did, but they certainly remember how you made them feel. And it's that, how do we make people feel? And I honestly think, to bring it back one step, bring it back to what we do, it's when you engage, retain, and grow your employees, when you make them feel empowered, when you give them the opportunity to be themselves within the corporate and provide that amazing customer experience, the people within your company feel fulfilled. I'm sure when this woman brought the pizza dough to your daughter and she saw the sparkle in this kid's eyes, the feeling inside her must have been incredible. And that's where the magic happens. It's not the fact that not only are you making your customers' lives better and you're building up that engagement, that loyalty, and everything that goes along with it, but what you're doing is you're enabling your employees to be their best and empowering them to do amazing things to be able to make that experience better. And you know, you started off with the Disney experience. And you know, I am a Disney fanatic. We go to Disney, Disneyland, Disney World, one of these things probably every 18 months as a family. And I'm a marketing and branding guy. I've been on every backstage tour. I go on all the tours. I do all the technical stuff. And I'm looking to see what's the experience that they provide to individual guests. You know, what are the little magical moments that came up? I remember walking into a restaurant. It was Tusker's Restaurant at Disney World in the Animal Kingdom. And I said to the waitress, I says, you know what? I'm lactose intolerant. She goes, hang on a second. A Red Seal chef comes out and he says, can I walk you through the line? Because it's a buffet. He says, well, you can eat this, you can eat this, you can eat this. Do you like this? Well, tell you what, I can make that for you. I'll make you a custom one without the butter. So he made me these incredible beans, you know, that were just absolutely phenomenal and delicious, but without the butter, with the substitute, so I could eat them. And they made up a special dessert for me that I could eat. Just, you know, and you remember these things as a customer, and it's what makes you loyal to a brand. And I love that that's what you do.
You know, obviously he's making sure that it doesn't poison you. Nobody wants to be poisoned while at Disney. However, what he was doing for you, Ben, and what this server was doing for me, again, this is one of the tricks of the trade here, is that he was treating you like one of his own. Like whether he sees you as his dad or his brother or his uncle, that you remind him of his uncle Jim, who's also lactose. Who knows what was occurring for him in his head, other than just doing his job, yes. But what he's been enabled and empowered to do is treat you like his own. And when I talk to groups of teams and you know, employees that are facing the front line, even dealing with difficult customers, when things go wrong and people are screaming at you or throwing stuff or, you know, breaking a hotel room, there is a moment where you can see someone as your own and be like, you know what? That's someone's grandma or that's someone's dad. There are people that care about Ben somewhere in the world to make sure that Ben doesn't get poisoned today while at Disney. And I want to make sure that does not happen. And when you can get your team doing that, in treating people like family or treating people as if you're, that's where the authenticity and the genuineness can come from. That's a way to get people to get there, right? And that's one of the strategies that we use to help people along that are having a hard time making connections or finding genuine feelings with someone. That's a way to do it.
So let's get into the ROI of this, because people are sitting there listening and says, oh, it's nice. It's touchy feely. It's, you know, it's a nice to have, but it's way more than a nice to have. There is enormous ROI that, you know, the return on investment for the training, for the opportunity, for everything that goes into creating that experience. There is amazing dividends that come out of it. So I want you to talk about it, because a lot of CEOs just don't get it. CFOs, they look at this as a dollar and cents and go, why should I spend all this money to train my people?
Great question. Again, I'll go back to look at us talking about this pizza place. Now, you and I are going to get all these emails now after people listen to this being like, where's that pizza place?
And you can mention it on air. I'll put it online. I don't care.
Yeah, right away, that could be your answer right there. I mean, I could list off all the return on investment possibilities and things that this could all bring. But right there, that is a place that I will now recommend for the rest of my days to everyone I know that has kids or not doesn't have kids. Doesn't matter. So right there, they have just gained me forever. I am a super fan of this place. So loyalty 100% is there and it's real. It'll be something that I talk about all the time. That's the thing. When often talking about return on investment, we could easily go down the road of this is going to increase your overall sales right away, because people are going to want to buy from you. They're going to want to buy a house from John. Yes, the brand is lovely and your products are fantastic, but they're going to keep going back to your people. They're going to come back and check into the hotel and say, oh, is Sam still here? He's my favorite front desk agent. We stay here because of Sam, right? I often go back to it's all about the people. And if you've got customers that are wanting to make human connections with your people, this is obviously a step to find it.
It's funny because you talk about it going back and ask for Sam, because I recently had that experience. There's a restaurant that we go to, an old style Italian restaurant on the south side of the Vegas Strip called Bootlegger. If you ever get there, the food is phenomenal. It's old school Vegas. It's just amazing. But there was a waiter there that was there for 40 or 45 years. And every time, and we were in Vegas once, twice a year, whenever it is, we would sit in his section. And he always knew what we wanted to eat. I mean, we're only there twice a year. He always knew what we liked to eat. He always knew that my friend loved a certain sauce on his pasta. We both drank, you know, scotch and remembered these things. And it was an experience every single time we got there. And the last time we went, we asked about him and we hadn't been there for 6 months or so. And he had retired. And I actually sat down, I wrote a handwritten note and gave it to the maitre d'. I said, look, you're still in touch with him? Yeah. I says, please give this to him. And it was just, we wish you well. And thank you for 18 wonderful years of taking care of us. And we'll still be back. We'll still go to the restaurant. We'll still eat at Bootleggers. We'll still have a good time. But he was part of, he made us feel like family. It's that feeling of family, like it's the cheers where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And it was more than a pithy statement. You knew when you walked into a certain place that you were welcome and that, you know, that you mattered and that you weren't just dollars and cents walking in the door. You were a person. And I think that that's what most companies miss, whether they're retailers, whether they're manufacturers, whether they're business to business. Most companies miss that their customers are so important to their survival and to their, because they're their best marketing for them.
A lot of people don't realize is that your competitor down the street is interacting with people, not just transacting, right? They're having interactions, not transactions. And that is something that I often talk about with CEOs and GMs and whatnot is, you know what, your competitors are doing something that you are not, right? What can happen is that, you know, a lot of people that are on the front lines can get into autopilot mode, right? And they're just kind of going through. We were at a restaurant the other night where we ordered chicken lettuce wraps and the lettuce wraps came out without the chicken, right? And they were not chicken lettuce wraps. And, you know, they came out, they were lettuce wraps, you know, and they came out and they, you know, offered us a free dessert. But it was just like the most sort of stale interaction. It was just like that. We were just another guest, another customer in and out. And then, you know, my wife and I were like, you know what? We'll probably not come back to this place, you know, because they didn't care really. They didn't really care and can tell right away whether an organization does or not. And that's the big thing. People want interactions. They don't want to be just another transaction.
You know, I had a situation the other day where by mistake, one of my suppliers sent a sales confirmation to my customer instead of me. All my pricing on it. Well, thank God it went to her junk file. And she sit there goes, do you know this company? I said, yeah. I says, do me a favor. Could you forward it to me and just delete it? So she never saw it. But I called the company up. I said, what did you do? How does this ever happen that you would send my pricing to my customer, my wholesale pricing to my customer? And their thing is, well, we'll give you a $50 discount. Well, guess what? I took the $50 discount and I will never do business with them again, ever. And I've done hundreds of thousands of dollars of business with these people over the years. And the fact they basically made me feel like we don't care proved to me that, you know what? It's time to go find somebody else.
Give him his $50 gift card and hope for the best.
Yeah.
There's a story that I often share. There was a very, very expensive wedding that happened at a hotel. And these people, it was like a $75,000 wedding. It was like a 3-day extravaganza. And there was a couple of things. If you've been married, you know, on the wedding day, things go wrong. There's all sorts of things that can happen. In this case, the outside heater lamps didn't work, right? And so, of course, that created all sorts of chaos, you know, for the bride and groom. And they were really upset because the heaters weren't working and people couldn't go outside on the patio. So wedding happens. Checkout is happening at the hotel. And the front desk agent says, oh, how was your wedding? How was everything? And the bride said, it was good. Thank you very much. The front desk agent said, oh, I can tell that there's something wrong, or what is there something that happened? Then the brides kind of said, oh, you know, well, the heating lamps didn't work and that was a really big disappointment and la, 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 la. So the front desk agent then looks at this $75,000 bill and says, I can see that you had breakfast this morning. You know, on behalf of the hotel, I'd be happy if I could take that off your bill for you. And the bride said, okay, sure. Thank you. Thank you very much. And off she went. 3 days later, a review shows up on TripAdvisor, pretty scathing, saying that she was totally offended by the fact that, you know, she had just dropped all this money on this big wedding. And at the end of the stay, the front desk agent took off this breakfast. And how she ended it,
even if it was 50 bucks.
Even if it was 50 bucks, she said, I feel like the front desk agent did it for her and not me. I think about that story and I tell it often because it talks a little bit about what you were saying about how people are so scared and nervous that kind of sweep it under the rug and hope for the best. But this person wasn't inclined or empowered to really dive deep and ask the simple questions like, what could I do for you that would make this feel better for you? Instead of the visceral reaction of, oh, let's just like take off $50 breakfast. When you're dropping $75,000 on a wedding,
you shouldn't have to pay for that breakfast the day after anyway.
In a fit, you're nickel and diming someone. It's just a big, big mess there. And that again, like that, we could really dissect that. But it's just one of those things that I always think about. That front desk agent did it for her and not me, hoping for the best and, you know, hoping that everything is peachy keen.
Jeffrey, you and I could tell stories on bad customer service and challenges with customer service, I think, for the next 3 years, unfortunately. And, you know, and there's great customer experience stories, too, and we've told those as well. I want to finish this off, and I want to sit there and ask you two questions. One, how do people get in touch with you? Because they need to be trained by you, because the dynamics that you do and the things that you do to be able to empower teams and give the teams those skills to do things the right way are incredible. So how do people get in touch with you the best way?
Definitely. So I'm doing all the right stuff the entrepreneurs need to do in these era of 2020. So right now we're building the website. We're still polishing it up. And again, when I look back at doing this, I often say I would rather build the house with a solid, strong foundation and do it right the first time than build something out of toothpicks and paper mache, right? And so when I think about how to be available for people, right now we're all on the social media. So you can find Luminary Learning Co. on Instagram. We're on Twitter at Luminary L Co., Facebook, Luminary Learning Company. And of course, LinkedIn is a really great way to reach me almost immediately. Of course, I have an email address at hello@luminarylearningco.com. So I've made it pretty easy to get a hold of me. And I really appreciate what you just said about what I'm doing and how I do it. When I describe what I do for people, I often talk about the definitions of the company itself. Luminary Learning Company. And when we were trying to establish a name and the purpose and the mission, I am a lover of language. I think it's probably the artist in me and the lover of dialogue and reading plays and scripts. And so for me, language is really important in how you're getting your message out. In a way that I often describe the company is through the definitions of the three words, Luminary Learning Company. And if you don't mind, I'd like to give you those definitions. It really describes so much of who I am and what I do and what I believe I'm, what we're up to. So the word luminary, the definition of that is a person who inspires or influences others, especially one prominent in a particular sphere. The word learning is the acquisition of knowledge or skills through experience, study, or being taught. And the word company is, I think, one of my favorites. It's the fact or condition of being with others, especially in a way that provides friendship, belonging, and enjoyment. And when you put all three of those words together, it can make for a really exceptional training experience.
That's awesome.
Which is at the core of what I want to do and what I'm achieving with people.
I was going to ask you the final question, but I think you've already answered it. But you know what? The question I always ask people, and I'll let you maybe augment it, is when you leave a meeting and you get in your car and drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Wow. I would say that I want them to think, wow, that was so different from anything I've ever experienced before. And I am so inspired to now go out and meet our customers and be with our customers and bring our mission and core values to life in a way that we've never brought them to life before. If I can achieve that with people and get them so fired up and inspired to be the best that they can be and to flourish in whatever position they've got, that's my calling. That's what I'm here to do. Really.
That's awesome. And you know, in today's environment, you do both, you know, live training, you do online training, you have the ability to be able to be where people need you. So, Jeffrey, thank you for being you. Thank you for inspiring others. Thank you for helping build amazing customer experience. And thanks for a great chat.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here with you.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?